Again, 1-800-381-9318. This is Health Profile.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, more of the greatest talk on earth.
And the diversity just keeps on coming.
Your superstation, AM 1050, News Talk KCAA.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Democratic efforts to keep control of the Senate have been dealt a blow by Nebraska's Ben Nelson.
I'm announcing today that I will not seek re-election.
Shoppers seem to be spending more this year, but CNBC's Courtney Regan says before the final tallies are in, the dust needs to settle.
Returns also up this year, up 4% from last year. So retailers are expecting to see about 9.9 cents returned for every dollar that was initially spent.
Poor holiday sales have led the parent company of Sears and Kmart to announce plans to close between 100 and 120 stores. Stocks were barely changed in light trading today. The Dow was up 3 points. Investigators in Stamford, Connecticut say a Christmas morning fire that killed 5 people was caused by fireplace embers that were discarded while they were still hot. The mayor calls it a tragic accident. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
If you want to get 2012 off to a fresh start, the psychics at California Psychics can help.
I'm Reagan. I'm an empath, and I can help you by feeling what's going on in your life and get around those little roadblocks so that you can achieve fulfillment in the new year.
At California Psychics, our psychics have real gifts and communicate clearly. In fact, only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
The hiring process was really challenging. I had to go through a background check, test readings, interviews.
Call 800-PREDICT, 800-PREDICT, or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. And we promise that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
I love helping people with love and relationships and career issues. I want to help them get on the right path so they can do what they really want to do.
California Psychics has helped over 2 million people. Call 800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 800-PREDICT or CaliforniaPsychics.com. And if you're...
This is a weekly test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system. KCAA 1050 AM serves the greater Riverside San Bernardino area.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Rod Tanner. For tonight, it'll be clear. We expect an overnight low of 45. Wednesday, we'll have a sunny day with a high of 76. Again, skies will be clear Wednesday night with a low of 49. Thursday continues to be sunny with a high of 77. It'll be clear on Thursday night with a low of about 50. Friday, we'll wrap up the final week of the year with a sunny day or high 74. For the holiday weekend, we'll wrap up the year on Saturday with sunshine and a high of 75. We'll kick off 2012 on Sunday with sunshine and a high of 77. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
At 4:03, I'm Brett Malik with this Inland Empire traffic update brought to you by Firestone Complete Auto Care. You need that extra value from your vehicle, and Firestone Complete Auto Care can help. From oil changes to brake repairs to new tires together, they'll keep your car running newer, longer. Call 1-800-LOCATE-US for the location nearest you. On the 15 northbound, it's slowing down from Sierra to the 215. On the 15 southbound, that is sluggish from 4th to Harupa. 215 southbound, slow from Mount Vernon to University. 71 degrees in downtown San Bernardino. We have Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino next on AM 1050 and KCAAradio.com.
Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company has been serving the greater Inland Empire for over 60 years. For all of your printing needs, from full-color printing to high-speed copying and everything in between, go to Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. Their staff is committed to your total satisfaction. Great service isn't just lip service at Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company. It's the way they do business year after year. Having trouble finding drafting supplies? Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company still carries a complete selection. Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company is rated high in customer satisfaction by ValueStar, an independent rating company. For all of your personal or business printing, call Redlands Blueprint and Commercial Printing Company at 909-792-3478. That's 792-3478, or visit them on New York Street in Redlands off the I-10 and the Crosstown Freeway.
The most diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously with Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Here now to help you take your business to the next level, the host of Taking Your Business Seriously, Gary Capolino.
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we're going to talk about buying into a business. This is a bit of a continuation from last week, and we'll get to that in just a moment. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 1-888-909-1050, or you can email us through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage. Okay, before we get started, let me just cover a announcement here. For those of you who are interested, I will be speaking at a free seminar on January 5th at the Riverside Marriott. That's in Riverside, California. The seminar is called Success Through Accounting, and in the seminar I will highlight the problems that entrepreneurs face as they transition from small to medium size, and of course I will try to cover some of the solutions to those problems also. If you would like to attend, I suggest that you communicate through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage. Seating is limited, so if you're interested, you should RSVP as soon as possible. All right. Last week we were talking about buying into a business, and we seem to have a little bit more to say than we had minutes in our time slot. So we're continuing today, and we will kind of give you a quick primer on what we covered last week. But for those of you who would like to hear this week and last week in its entirety, you can catch our podcasts at the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage. Last week, of course, is already available to you. And if you would like to listen to that and this week after you've heard this week, this week will be on the website within the next 24 hours. All right, so as we covered buying into a business last week, we kind of talked about two issues. One is what the seller is looking for, and one is what the buyer is looking for. And the seller's concept, Gary, do you remember any of the high points of that particular coverage?
It was just that they're looking for someone to give them money so they can take their business to the next level.
Okay, I was referring to the buyer's...
Seller.
I'm sorry, my mistake.
For the buyer, it was you want to find a profitable business that you can invest in. You want to put money into it, and you want to make money from that. You want them to be successful, and you want them to reimburse you and give you a little extra commission for what they've accomplished through your investment, and then after that, you live happily ever after.
Right, and of course, the commission you were referring to is at one level profits, and at the other level, an increased value of your investment. And of course, that's not necessarily borne by the owner of the company who sold you a piece of it, but quite possibly by a successor investor, someone who buys your share and the business moves along. Okay, and in that process, we talked about the care that goes into selecting a prospect. And what were the high points of that process?
For the prospects, it was that you want to review the financial statements and the income tax returns, and you want to understand their business plan and where they're planning to take their company.
That's right. And of course, the other elements that are also important is to see if there might be some element of collateral. If your investment does not pan out, so there could be some basis of repayment. Because remember, while we, in one sense, think of this as equity, when things don't turn out, you're hoping that you're going to get some of your money back. And thus, if the investment is used to buy some significant assets, the concept isn't, oh, you lost your investment, and the other owner takes all the assets. Presumably, you get a piece of that also. And as I said, it may not necessarily be in liquid form, but it ultimately represents some element of value that hopefully some value can be achieved from it. And, of course, the other element as a part of the due diligence process is that you want to, is in making your investment or in the agreement that is part of the investment, is you want to try to get some kind of specific commitments of specific objectives or projections that the business is going to attain. A lot of times the unwary investor will make an investment in the company where all that's all they do. They just give them some money and they never hear anything about it again. Sometimes it goes into a company, sometimes the money and the, quote, owner skip town, and you spend the rest of your time seeking both your money and the owner. All right, now for the people who are trying to attract capital and thus selling a piece of their business, what is the concept there, Gary?
You want to find necessary partners, like an accountant. You want to link up with their accountant and the IRS and their key employees and make sure they're on the same page that you are.
That's right. And you also, of course, to get together with them or to meet with them, you want to have financial statements that show that you are a profitable company and that you have significant assets to support the business. You also want to be able to produce income tax returns. And, of course, the idea behind all this is to attract investors' money. Okay? And for the seller of the company who's never really thought about selling his company before, what are the hurdles that he might run into?
He may have some undeclared income on his books or off of
his company.
Yeah, or he may not have an accountant on his staff who knows all the financial aspects of his company as well as he should, or he may pay for everything on cash and he might not have a good credit history or anything like that.
Sure. Okay. And the real issue here, and this is something that we talk about quite a bit on this radio show, it's about the running a business, so to speak, below the radar, because initially this was just something that we did on the side, and it turned into a business. And if you're trying to attract capital, now it's a real business. And the problem that you sometimes run into here is that because you never ran it like a business, there are a lot of elements of the business that you would say are out of compliance. They aren't following the letter of the law in terms of how you're supposed to be running a business. The first thing we talked about was the undeclared income. For a lot of people who are casually pursuing any kind of a business, they sell something for cash, they put the cash in their pocket, and it's as if the transaction never happened outside the extra cash in one's pocket. But when these casual transactions turn into the basis of a company or of a business turn serious, what is the problem with all this undeclared income?
It really changes the view that you're giving of the company. You can't really see how much money it's bringing in or how much money it's not bringing in.
That's right. The history or the experience of the company is invisible. Was it on the tax return?
No.
Probably not. Okay? And if it wasn't on the tax return, chances are it wasn't in the bank account. Because what would that do?
It would make your tax return incorrect.
Exactly. Okay, because while a lot of us don't have a whole lot of experience with internal revenue audits, but a lot of the basis sometimes of determining if somebody has income is that they actually can see on their bank statement that money has gone into their account. Now, not all the money that goes into somebody's account is taxable income, but nonetheless, if money's going into an account and it's different from the income, that might be something to look at. And of course, it is also a question of degree. If you have hundreds of dollars going into your bank account, that may not get a whole lot of interest. Thousands, maybe not. But when you start getting into tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, if that is the magnitude of your business, not only do you have a significant business, but you have no history. Now, the other end of this, of course, is that when we start earning more money, whether we declare it or not, what tends to show up around you when you have that situation?
There's always kind of a proof that something's happened.
Right. And what would be one of the elements of proof?
The people you sold the things to have it on their records.
That's right. That's right. All right. And actually, that's a very good example, one that I wasn't thinking of here. But what I was thinking of, for the person who's selling stuff for cash and receiving a lot of cash, he starts to buy stuff. Okay. Now, if he's buying it for the business, that creates a whole nother problem. Does he have loans to support, substantiate the assets in his business?
No.
Of course not. But he's got these things because he needs them in his business, and then that starts producing a whole nother question. Where did the money come from? Okay, but as you just mentioned a moment ago, if you're only dealing in cash, a lot of times the comfort in dealing with cash is that the transactions are not recorded. However, for the legitimate businesses that you deal with, the ones that work in compliance, in order to recognize the value that you offer, they may pay cash for what you have, but usually they have some pretty careful internal records to show where that cash came from and what they did with it. Because part of the elements of accounting and control is what?
Controlling everything that happens, keeping track of everything.
Exactly, keeping track of everything. And the reason that we do this is not always for the benefit of our tax return. It's for the protection of the owner and of the people involved. Okay, for instance, if you receive a lot of cash, and the minute the cash is received, it's recorded in the books, whether it's just a little penciled ledger or whether it's in the accounting system. Okay, what happens if somebody takes that money then?
It creates something that's missing in those books.
Exactly, exactly. So for those of you who never really seem to understand the purpose of accounting, it all starts right there. Okay, keeping track of stuff so that you can recognize it when it's missing. Okay, and of course that's the other side of it. So if you work for cash and you deal with legitimate businesses, your whole house of cards can be in danger of a little bit of exposure. And sometimes that's the best thing that could happen to you, in the sense of maybe it scares you straight. Because it sounds, if you are earning a lot of money and it's all off the books, maybe it's time to start thinking about running a legitimate business on the books, because it's making money. And the more money you make, you start running out of places to hide it. That's just part of the game. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm with Gary, and we've been talking about buying into a business. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business and you'd like to call us at 888-909-1050, we will answer your question on the air during today's radio show. Otherwise, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, and we will bring those questions to one of our future broadcasts. We'll be back in a few minutes, so please stay with us.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
I'll pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react. The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Here's First Lady Michelle Obama and David Murphy of the Texas Rangers for Let's Move.
There are so many fun and easy things we can do to be healthier.
First, set aside an hour a day to get up and play.
Second, play can be anything. Catch, tag, just running around.
Third, eat healthier. It's key to the whole game plan.
Everyone can play. Visit letsmove.gov and get moving.
A message from Let's Move, USDA, the Ad Council, MLB, and the players.
Listen to AM 1050 KCAA. It makes people wonder what you're up to.
This is...
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm here with Gary, and we're talking about buying into a business. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. And if you call us during our broadcast, we'll do our best to answer your question on the air today. Otherwise, you can email us through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage, and we'll bring that question to a future broadcast. Okay, we've been talking about buying into a business, and we kind of got into the possible hurdles that the seller of a business might run into when he's trying to sell. And we were touching a little heavily there on the issue of undeclared income. All right. When you have undeclared income, aside from all the pitfalls that we've discussed so far, aside from the needing to buy the trust or to get the trust of the person who will invest in your company, okay, if this undeclared income is a significant element of the value of your business, you have to find a way to substantiate it. Now, a confession is part of the game, but hopefully there is some other things, such as people that you've done transactions with that can verify the information that you've given them. But the big element that comes up here is the question of trust. Okay. Now, Gary, why do we normally comply with the income tax laws, aside from the, well, why do we comply with the income tax laws?
Because if you don't, you're technically breaking the law, and there's a lot of fines and a lot of just things that get in the way of doing business the next year that they're just good to avoid.
Right, because in fact, they could shut you down. Okay, but that's, you know, the fines and the penalties are good incentives. But the fact is, just like you said, it's the law. Okay? Now, when somebody makes an investment in your company and you just decide not to pay them back, are you breaking the law?
No.
Generally, no. Not if it's just a question of just failing to pay somebody back. But at the same time, if you've produced some element of a business and the person has invested in your business, is there a business?
Yes.
Okay. So we're not necessarily committing fraud when we attract investment capital here. Okay. But at the same time, if we take the money that was given to us for the business and we use it for something else, okay, are we breaking the law there?
Yes.
Okay, is it something that you can just call the cops and say, hey, I invested in his money, in his company, and he just took my money. He didn't put it in his company.
You're usually going to need a little more proof than just your word.
That's right. So now there's an element of proof. And, of course, this probably requires the assistance of investigators, lawyers, et cetera, and that's a lot of money. Okay, now, I was talking to somebody recently about the concept of lending him some money to buy a car and pointing out that the only reason we lend the money is so that we will be repaid with a profit. But of course, since the money was used to buy the car turns into collateral. But in the end, do we want to have the money or do we want to have the car?
The money.
That's right. Because if we have the car, what do we have to do to the car to get our money back?
We have to sell the car.
That's right. And are we in the business of selling cars?
No.
That's right. So it kind of takes us to a place that we don't want to be. So when we're investing in somebody's company, although the process itself is fraught with risk, okay, we want the investment to work out. A part of that is that if I invest in somebody's company, the owner or the person taking the investable funds has to be someone that we can trust. If they can't file a tax return, if they can't file a legitimate tax return, okay, is this somebody that we want to invest in?
No.
Okay. Now, the way that a lot of people get past this is by creating an illusion of a very, very profitable investment. And sometimes it's real, sometimes it isn't. But this is where a lot of people get in a lot of trouble because they smell the cash and they get into it without doing their homework. But they're being squeezed for time because the company needs the cash, and if the company doesn't get the cash fast enough, then there will be no opportunity and none of us will make money. But prudence requires time, and prudence is usually worth it. Okay, so another element that could be a hurdle, with or without the first problem that we've talked about, would be what?
If they don't have a plausible business plan.
That's right. Okay. Now, business plans can be written, but what is an important part of the business plan? It tells the what you're planning to do, but what does it also tell you?
It tells you how it's going to generate income.
That's right, but and it also tells you what you've done already. Okay, so assuming that you have those particular elements, okay, the investor can get a grasp of it, but a lot of times writing a business plan is a big job, and sometimes a big distraction from the business. But it's a necessary element of the process. Okay, another problem that sometimes comes up is the lack of an accountant on the staff of the company. Okay, now if the company itself is doing very well, you would think it would have an accountant. And if it doesn't have an accountant, that's a that could be a tip-off right there. Maybe things aren't as clean here as we thought. But with or without an accountant, and there are lots of companies with $5 million or $10 million or less account in annual sales who don't have accountants, and they have a functional accounting system, but it requires that somebody go and actually look at the accounting system to understand if it's producing real financial information. Okay, it's one thing for someone to produce financial statements, and he may actually hire an accountant, an outside accountant, to go and do it, and presumably whatever he produces is a function of the books and records of the company. But again, this is all part of the process, and if you don't have these elements in place, then you don't have then suddenly this whole process is distracting you from your business. If you have these pieces in place and they're a part of your business, when somebody wants to see a financial statement, you just pull one out of the drawer because you produce one every month, and this is the latest month's financial statement. A lot of them would have year-to-date information. And then, of course, there's last year and the tax return, which they all exist because we provide them or we produce them on schedule every month, every year, whatever. Okay? And then what's the other thing that is an old favorite here on this show?
You want to be able to have open and honest communication with them.
Yeah, I was... thinking in terms of the employment situation, you want to have employees that are paid through a legal payroll on the books. Now, once again, if you declare your income and you have an accountant and you have credit history, you probably have legal employees. But if you have some mix of stuff on the books and stuff off the books, that's where this gets messy. But the fact is, if you want to attract meaningful capital, you have to have a serious business. If you're going to have a serious business, you got to play the game. And payroll is right in the middle of all that. All right, now the next question, element of buying a business here is the question of making it work. Okay? In order to make it work, all the heads have to come together. And at the top of the list, Gary, what is the most important thing here?
You want to make sure your goals and the seller's goals are the same thing.
That's right. Okay. Presumably everybody wants to make money. Okay. And as you mentioned a moment ago, you're right on, no secrets. We talk about what we're going to do. We talk about our problems. We talk about our failures. We talk about our successes, and in the end, we put together a business plan that spells out both the buyer's and the seller's plans. We incorporate the buyer's ideas and the buyer's skill set and the buyer's knowledge into the business to maximize the resources that both individuals bring to the table. Now, when you're starting with an existing business, okay, you first have to get together and run that business, okay? Then, once you've established that everything's in place, then you start moving on and you start pursuing the new ideas and the new opportunities. Okay? No secrets about successes and failures. And when we start recognizing results that are different than what we expected, we start looking at alternative avenues. Okay? And ultimately, if everybody gets along and everything works out, we live happily ever after with lots of profits and a successful company and, as they say, a happy ending. Okay. Now, the things to remember in the context of attracting capital, especially if you're taking on an active partner, is it's a very, very difficult process. Okay? If you thought getting married was tough, try taking on a business partner. Okay? I'm not saying that either of these things is something that should be avoided at all costs, but whenever two people get together and try to do something together, you have the varying opinions. And you also have each individual's need to be in the lead or to have an influence. Nobody wants to be left out. Okay? And in that particular sense, if you take on a partner, you got to resolve the issue of who's going to be doing the day-to-day control from the beginning. I had a client years back. There are two guys that knew each other their whole lives. They shared the same office and made all their decisions together. And it worked very well. And it just goes to show that it can work. And this also requires that you both understand when things are not working, so that you can start putting your heads together to reach that point of understanding about both when we need to do so, when we need to make changes, and those can be changes that we all agree in. Okay? These also have to do with issues of adversity, surprises, loss of a market, loss of a client. You need to do something. You need to agree on your action plan. Okay? At the same time, the day that you get together, you guys need to recognize that it could turn out that you guys can't do it together. And for that, you should have a buyout agreement right at the beginning that says if we can't work this out, then there needs to be a way for us to get out of this and leave each other with as much as possible. The other thing is the memory that it's a lot easier to get a partner into the company than it is to get them out of the company. Okay? There's issues of salaries. There's issues of how much money or how much the business can support. But it's all a very bumpy road. Okay, on the subject of businesses and business plans, I mentioned this last week, but I'll bring it again. And that is that there is a book written by Stanley Rich and David Gumpert called Business Plans That Win. Okay, these two individuals were involved closely with the MIT Forum, which they described as a national clinic for providing assistance to emerging growth companies. And the concept is simply to have them present their business plans to a panel of venture capitalists. And under the model presented in the book, I wrote a sample business plan about a fictitious product produced by a fictitious company called Roller Mug Incorporated. The business plan can be obtained through the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. And for anybody who is trying to write a business plan, I think it's a pretty good example of how to do that. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. And today I'm here with Gary, and we've been talking about buying into a business. And when we get back, we're going to talk about year-end tax considerations. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can email us to the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. Or you can call us at 1-888-909-1050. If you call us during the show, and if you're thinking of doing it today, you're running out of time, but we will do our best to answer your questions on the show. About the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage, this webpage includes some resources, a seminar called Taking Your Business Seriously, a business plan called Roller Mug Incorporated, and it also has podcasts of all the earlier broadcasts that we've done on the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage, our radio show. Anyway, for those of you who have not heard all of our shows, you can catch all of our earlier episodes on that webpage. We'll be right back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
Attention business owners, do you want to spend more time focusing on your business and less on managing it? In these economic times, you don't need to add another full-time salary to get more effective administration. Take your business to the next level with radio host and founder of the part-time CFO, Gary Capolino, who has been serving Southern California business for over 20 years. He provides outsourced professional services you can afford. Call Gary at 951-653-5053. That's 951-653-5053 or GaryThePartTimeCFO.com.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Little one at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Childproofing your home, childproofing your yard, childproofing your in-laws' home and yard.
Of all the things you can read to keep your child safe, the most important is attached to their car seat. Read the instruction manual and use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly. Learn more at safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
I knew I was stuck at this kid's house for the night. I decided to just go to sleep and get the night over with. But those guys came into the bedroom and got into a massive pillow fight. Let me tell you, it's not easy falling asleep when a sweaty little kid falls on you every 5 seconds. Even after the lights went out, Raleigh and his friends stayed up. A bunch of them snuck up on me to try and pull the hand in a bowl of warm water trick. Well, that was enough for me. I went downstairs to sleep in the basement, even though it was pitch black. I left my sleeping bag upstairs, and that was a mistake, because it was freezing. I think it was probably the longest night of my life. When the sun came up this morning, I found out the reason it was so cold. I was sleeping right by the sliding glass door, and some fool had gone and left it open overnight. That really stunk, because if I knew there was a way to escape last night, I definitely would have taken it. To read more about the sleepover, check out Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Last Straw by Jeff Kinney. Explore new worlds and check out more cool books at your local library. And visit read.gov, brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home. But these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. I'm home. And I love it. I'm home. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hands can do incredible things. They made every sound in this piece of music. But nothing compares to using them to help save a life. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. It's called hands-only CPR, and it's recommended by the American Heart Association. Visit handsonlycpr.org today. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
KCAA Radio, Loma Linda, where no listener is ever left behind.
This is...
This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I'm here with Gary, and we've been talking about buying into a business, and now we're going to talk about year-end tax considerations. If you have any questions relating to the subject of small business, you can call us at 1-888-909-1050, or you can email us through the takingyourbusinessseriously.com webpage. If you're going to make a phone call today on this show, you better hurry. All right, back to the subject of year-end tax planning. Actually, I guess we're new to that subject here. But anyway, the issue of taxes in a business is like taxes anywhere. There are certain things you can do at the end of the year to change your position. And you don't necessarily have to be a tax expert to recognize these things, but at the same time, you should have somebody knowledgeable about taxes on hand or on call so you can discuss different things as you approach them. Now, the thing to remember here is that the goal of running a business is to make as much money as you can. Okay? The goals of tax planning are to pay as little tax as you can. Now, Gary, are those goals consistent?
They can be. Okay. Or there's a way to have both.
Right. Well, the concept is that the more money you make generally, the more taxes you will owe. But in the end, the idea is to make as much money as you can and take as much of that money home after taxes as you can. But if the only thing that you're thinking about is reducing your taxes, what is the easiest way to do that?
To make less money.
Or not make any money at all. Okay? In fact, if you lose money, you can carry that over to the next year. Okay? At least you can on the federal return. Currently, the state of California doesn't allow the net operating loss carry forward. But in better days, I'm sure they will. Okay, but in either case, there's a big difference between those two goals. Okay? And in that sense, when people get over-fixated on reducing their taxes, I like to tell them two things. And one is that it's a sad reality that if you do make money, you will have to pay taxes. But the other element is that if you run your business in order to and only look at the Internal Revenue Code in making your business decisions, you will have a terrible time. Because the tax code is not intended to encourage people to make money. And while the more people make, the more they pay, that is everybody's incentive. The paying of taxes is just something that goes with it. Okay. Now, for the actual planning in a business that goes with taxes, okay, the game is generally to incorporate making good business decisions while timing them for the maximum tax advantage. Okay, now, the best examples of these are probably some of the tax benefits that exist right now regarding depreciation and writing off fixed assets. Okay, now these elements exist all year long, but at the same time, it's a lot easier to do certain things at the end of a good year than in the beginning of a bad year. Although in the beginning of a bad year, you might have more money in the bank. But the concept is that if you don't necessarily know what kind of a year you're going to have until you're well into it. At the end of the year, especially on a day like today, December 27th, it's pretty easy to see what kind of a year you've had because you've already lived it. However, the different advantages that are out there regarding depreciation and some of the economic stimulus packages that we've had in the last couple years allow for the total write-off of fixed assets that you acquire up to a certain point. Now, whether you're on a cash basis or an accrual basis, okay, the fact is, if you buy something, a significant asset, and take delivery of it before the end of the year, and buy it on credit, you have effectively bought that asset, okay? And for the moment, let's just think of a friend from the past, and let's just say that you just bought a drilling rig for your oil drilling company, okay? A drilling rig probably goes for about $230,000, at least this fictitious one does. So you go tomorrow, you go into the place that sells them, you want one, you lock up the credit, and the only attachment is that it's got to be delivered to your facility by December 31st. Person wants to sell it to you, what's he going to do?
He's going to sell it to you.
And when's he going to deliver it?
The 31st.
That's right. Okay? Financing, of course, must be secured very quickly, but it could be financed. And guess what you just got?
Something you can write off.
$230,000 worth. Okay? Now, there are two elements in the tax code right now that are kind of the same thing. One is called the Section 179 deduction. And what that does is that allows for total write-off of equipment in the year that you buy it up to a certain amount. But in the recent stimulus packages, not only has that amount gone up higher and higher, but in the last year they created a whole new idea called bonus depreciation. And that's even bigger than the Section 179 deduction. And the bonus depreciation in the last year has been 100%. So either way, it works the same. Now, granted, making these plans on December 27th is probably not the best way to do it. But if you have a tax advisor and you approach the end of the year and you're looking for things to do, that's one of your opportunities. Now, I'm bringing this up on December 27th, not so much so that you can run and buy something before the end of the year, because this show generally has been focused on the entrepreneur who's starting a business. But these are things to be conscious of in future years as you approach the end of the year. You have extra money, or you have extra profits anyway, whether or not you have extra money, you can deduct the entire fixed asset, and you're not even out of pocket. You feel just as rich as you were yesterday. Now, the thing to remember here is that you will not be able to depreciate these fixed assets in future years. So that is a consideration. And you will also have payments in the future years. Now, Gary, when you have the profits to pay off a loan, what else does that get you?
It gets the you don't have to pay the loan in future years.
Well, no, the point is that when you're paying the loan and you're making payments through the year,
you avoid interest.
Well, chances are interest is part of the payments. But what I'm getting at here is that when you pay back a loan, in order to be able to do that, you have to have profits in your business. So if you buy a $230,000 drilling rig, in the first year of the presumable 5 years to pay it off, you will probably pay $40,000 to $50,000 of principal payments, which represent $40,000 to $50,000 of profits that you will not be able to use because you've used the cash to pay your taxes. And this is an element that catches a lot of small business people by surprise. They have no money because they're using it all to pay off their loans. And then at the end of the year, they have a tax liability and they don't understand where the profit came from. They had profits. They used all those profits to pay back their loans. Okay? This is an element that confuses a lot of people. And once again, it's important to bring your accountant in on this process. Okay? Now, one of the other great ideas for last-minute tax savings, and this one you can do after the year, and that is to start a retirement plan. Okay. Now, there are a lot of rules in terms of how an owner of a business can do that. But the fact is that usually the investment in the retirement plan does not have to take place until sometime before the tax return is filed. So as we're sitting here on December 27th, we got time to go to our financial planner and talk about starting a retirement plan. And the beauty of all this is everything you put in your retirement plan, not only are you using the funds next year, but you're deducting them this year. And depending on the makeup of the employment in your company, chances are you can be giving less of your retirement plan to those other employees tax-free than you would be paying in taxes if you were to keep the money in your company. Okay, these are two of the glaring examples. There's the other one that you hear quite frequently about paying your January bills in December. And this is a great thing if you have a lot of bills. Okay, but the other thing that goes with this is you better remember to do the same thing next December, or you're going to suddenly find yourself at the end of December short a month or a month and a half on deductions because you didn't pay all your bills in the same year. Okay. Once again, it helps to have an accountant involved in the process, whether he's working with you or whether he's active in your company from the outside, like a part-time CFO. Okay. One of the misunderstandings, although it's popular enough that it's hard to say that you shouldn't do it, but the fact is, if you ever get audited, you'll get corrected real fast. And that is to not deposit your revenue at the end of the year until after the first. By definition, if you receive a check, you receive the income, and that income belongs on your tax return for that year. There are a lot of people out there that hold the checks and recognize it in the future year, and as long as their tax preparer is willing to go along with it, that's fine. But if you ever get audited, you'll get corrected real fast. Anyway, and the other thing, I guess, that goes with all this is the issue of preparing your own tax return. I have a favorite story about former employee of mine who I was showing her how to prepare a tax return. And she had done her own tax return, and she was otherwise happy with the process because they had this great thing. I don't know if they still have it now, but you could call the IRS number and just by pressing certain buttons on your phone, file your tax return. So this particular person was rather hesitant about re-preparing her tax return, but it wasn't so much an issue. Actually, we weren't re-preparing it, but we were preparing hers for this year. And the concern was that if I was preparing her return, since I knew what I was doing, that meant that she would be paying more taxes, and thus she was hesitant to do it. But I needed to, as an employer, teach her to prepare a tax return, because someday she was going to be doing that in my company. And the funny thing is that when we were done, we tripped over something that wasn't available over the phone, and it had to do with education credits. And as a result, not only did she have a much, much bigger refund than she had the 2 years before, but at this particular point, she realized that the next thing she needed to do was to do an amendment of the last two tax returns. And thus, I got to train her how to do a tax return amendment. Anyway, long and short of it is, even preparing your own income tax return can cost you. When you're dealing with a business, there are a lot of things that you may not know about that it makes a lot of sense to bring a tax preparer into the game. This is Taking Your Business Seriously on KCAA 1050. I'm your host, Gary Capolino, the part-time CFO. Today I've been with Gary and we've been talking about buying into a business and some year-end tax planning ideas. If you have a question relating to the subject of small business, I would like it answered on a future broadcast. You can email us at the TakingYourBusinessSeriously.com webpage. Our special thanks to Brett, our engineer, and the KCAA radio station. Wishing everybody a happy new year and taking your business seriously in 2012. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week.
KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
NBC News Radio, this is Superstation KCAA in Loma Linda with your 5 o'clock local news. Now here's what's going on. And first in brief, another skydiver's been killed at the Paris Valley Airport. Paramedics say a man failed to survive a hard landing about 3 hours ago. A convenience store robber has been shot and wounded in a confrontation with San Bernardino police as he tried to make his getaway late last night. Police said that Nicholas Jeter was carrying an object resembling a gun. Jeter is now in serious but stable condition. Two Ontario police officers have been cleared of any wrongdoing in last year's fatal shooting of Jason Martin. Martin was holding a gun to the head of his girlfriend when it misfired. Prosecutors said today the officer's use of deadly force in that incident was reasonable and legally justified. Back in San Bernardino, a police sergeant was arraigned and pleaded not guilty today to burglary charges. A woman allegedly caught Lucy and Daigle inside her home at Mentone last October, then sprayed him with a potent type of pepper spray. Daigle fled but crashed his car 2 miles away in Highland. Inside were several items belonging to the victim. Daigle now on leave from the LAPD, where he's worked for the past 18 years. Another shooting has become San Bernardino's 30th homicide of the year. Paramedics found Darnell Poldadare unresponsive last night on a west side sidewalk. Shifting gears a few moments, the American Lung Association says up to 1,360 premature deaths can be prevented here in the Riverside-San Bernardino area every year. It's urging the Environmental Protection Agency to strengthen the health standards for fine particulate matter.
Particulate pollution is primarily diesel soot. The Riverside-San Bernardino area ranks fifth on the list of metropolitan areas that will benefit most from a stronger standard. The Los Angeles, Long Beach, Santa Ana area ranks at the